If these walls could speak of things that they remember well, stories and faces dearly held, a couple in love living week to week, rooms full of laughter, if these walls could speak. If these halls, hallowed halls, could talk, these would have a tale to tell of sun going down and dinner bell, and children playing at hide and seek from floor to rafter. If these walls could speak, they would tell you that I'm sorry for being cold and blind and weak. They would tell you that it's only that I have a stubborn streak. If these walls could speak. If these old fashioned window panes, I guess they would have seen it all. Each little tear and sigh and footfall, and every dream that we came to seek or follow after, if these walls could speak. Don't ever go away. That's what these walls would say. That's what these walls would say. That's what these walls would say. That's what these walls would say.
How beautiful was that? Father, we give you the glory for today, Lord. What a blessing it is to come here as brothers and sisters that know you, Father. And we're blessed to do anything we can to proclaim the name of Christ in this place, Father. Your word tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So now we get to look into your word, Father, and I want nothing else but to do that and be pleasing in your sight, Father, that the aroma coming out of this place is for you, Father, and I give you the glory in Jesus' name, amen. How beautiful it is to be here today. The song started, "If These Old Walls." They've been here since 2003, these walls. If these old walls could speak, I think they would say, hey, we got three new roofs here. The song goes on and says, of the things that they remember well. Think about it. All the years, the decisions that those who have surrendered their lives to Christ in this very room here, the dedications, the baptisms, the weddings, and yes, even the funerals we've had here that can give testimonies to their life that they lived on earth here. And as they've gone on to heaven, we have sent many people there. I think about all the Bible studies and all the retreats and the other events that we've had here at Community Christian Fellowship and for the surrounding community. I think about the prayers. All week I thought about the prayers. The many prayers, the many counseling sessions, the many meetings, the many hospital visits, the many lunches, just going and fellowship with one another, because fellowship is so important in a church body, so important. And the song goes on and says, stories and faces dearly held. All the people who have attended here through the years, all the people that worked here and served here, we're blessed to have Pastor Dick and Susan here today. Give me a hand. He started this church in 1999. Did I say 18? 1999 with 9 families. Think about it. 2003, they moved into this building, and Pastor Dick told me many times, driving up and down Route 29, saying, Lord, where do you want us to plant this church? Wasn't going to cry today. I hadn't cried since last Saturday night, the Hallmark movie. I haven't cried since then. Praise God. But think about it. And I want to talk about some people today, maybe who've been here the longest working here. Darlene Axton, sitting here with her husband Dave today. Started May 1st, 2006. Retiring September 30th this year. So we want to give her a good... I mean, Dave just wants the Indians to win the baseball World Series, and that's cool. Next person, Elizabeth Baden, starting here October 1st, 2007. That's powerful. All this stuff is her today. I had her sign a slip of paper that she's retiring September 30th, 2050. Praise God. Melissa Leveling started here September 1st, 2009. I can remember her. Yeah, give her a hand. Praise God. I can remember her walking in the fellowship hall when Janie had moved away and we're looking for somebody to take care of our children here. And twice she came up to me. Well, you know, Pastor Nick, I have a degree in recreation. And I said, well, you know, let's get together. So I said, Pastor Dick, let's interview. I didn't tell her we were interviewing her, but we just had her come in and we sat down with her, still here. Praise God. Retiring September 30th, 2043. Praise God. Next, Kim Hensley, April 1st, 2012. Been working here part-time with the children, doing a great job. Praise God. Then we got Pastor Caleb Epperson IV. Started here November 1st, 2012. And you know what's cool about today, the 20th anniversary, the first day the little baby's going to be here. Isn't that fantastic? Praise God. Maybe give her some of that chicken in the back afterwards. Praise God. I started here February 1st, 2005. I remember coming and interviewing with Pastor Dick, long story, but coming over here and going over that train track, and there had been an accident, and no one could go over the train track. I had never been over here. I didn't even know how to get here. Other than 15, I had to go around 29. It's a long story. But praise God. And I thought about the missions. How about the missions? Because we're a missions church. And I'm trying to figure out, Darlene, print out me all these people we've been, like 2003, they started Sons of Thunder. When I came here in 2005, they were supporting Sons of Thunder here $700 a month. Sending to Africa. And then we started a missions committee, and we started supporting and sending money all around the world. So I counted up from April 2005 to August 2019. Now, this is not an exact figure, but this is something I came up thinking about all the different people we sent to, and this is a figure I came up with. $310,732.13 we've given the missions. And Darlene didn't mess around. Every penny's in there. Praise God. Beautiful. What would our walls say? If these walls could speak, what would they say? And I thought about these statements. They all start with the word be. And the first one I would say is because there's a battle going on daily in this world. There's a war going on. So I thought my first statement would be aware of the battle that's going on. That's what the walls would say. Be aware of the battles that each of us have gone through or going through, and know there's going to be more coming in the future. In our culture, everybody wants to talk about our problems without talking about evil or talking about faith or talking about the Spirit. We're fighting these things daily, even as believers. We're fighting the world. We're fighting the flesh. We're fighting the enemy. Those three things are talked about in 1 John chapter 2. But right now, I'm thinking in our generation, right now, anyone who proposes a spiritual cause to a problem is labeled as a fanatic. Naive, maybe silly, maybe unenlightened, maybe uninformed about the real issues. Some may give a sentimental value to those of faith, but nothing more. In their hearts, they believe such talk about spiritual things is absurd. I mean, there's a new religion starting now, and it's called climate change. Think about it. And we think we're so advanced here in America, and yet the streets still run with blood. Humans are still being oppressed around the world. Human trafficking. Families are being broken down everywhere. Drug addictions, pornography, abortions, and so on. I saw a movie earlier this year that I wanted to show you to because you're going to have trouble finding it. And the movie is called Unplanned, based on the true story of Planned Parenthood. Please see this movie. I went and saw it in the theater. It is incredible because we've been lied about for years by a system called Planned Parenthood. So I'd highly recommend that because it's so important. Because we're being influenced, and if you look at 2 Corinthians 4:4, we're being influenced by the God of this age, little g. I was doing my homework this week because we had 10 guys meet on Wednesday night, and we're doing this new study called Tony Evans, No More Excuses. And as I'm doing my homework, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, Nick, this fits with the message. Tony Evans says this, as a pastor, I've never witnessed a time where men seem to be fighting as many battles as they are today. And too many of them are losing, Tony Evans said, whether in their families or finances or careers or health or pornography or debt or addictions or loneliness or other overwhelming struggles. Many men today are fighting a losing battle against sin. He writes in the book, concerned about the attacks they're facing, they do go to God for his wisdom and his strategy, and they apply it, but only some of it, Tony said. So the first thing I think our walls would say is, you know, be aware there's a battle. The next thing it would say, be equipped with God's armor. Because I don't think the Bible can give us like a simplistic answer to the problems of this world that we're facing right now. Clearly, if you think about it in academia, there might be some answers in the field of sociology or biology, but they cannot and will not provide the answers that we need. You must take into account sin and Satan when you try to assess the problems in this world. And Paul, a trustworthy and an inspired apostle, is not uninformed about the real problems. He's informing us about the real unseen battles these visible problems present. And if we consider the words in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, because Paul is really exhorting the Ephesian there and us to stand firm by God's strength, with God's armor, in the midst of the spiritual warfare that's going around. There's three imperatives in these verses when I read them. One, be strong. The walls are going to tell us when we go out of here to be equipped with God's armor and to be strong and to take on the full armor of God and to stand. So if you want to be equipped with God's armor, maybe you came here today saying, how can I make a difference in this generation? What can I do to go outside these walls and bring Christ to a lost and dying world? Because I'm going to tell you something, changing the climate is not going to fix it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't get one amen out of that. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil's schemes. Because when it says put on the full armor of God, why do we want to do that? Because of the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, and over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, the Bible says. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Because we're going to keep standing here. I don't care if it's 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Praise God. Kathy, we're still going to be here. Praise God. We're going to stand firm. And then he gives us that armor, belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, gospel shoes. Love those gospel shoes. Field, a shield of faith. I thought Justin would be excited about that. Oh, he's not in here right now. He loves shoes, man. Helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. And you're listening, God, I put the battle is spiritual and it must be fought in God's strength, depending on the Word and on God through prayer. Next thing the walls would tell us, be prepared to die to self. This is where a lot of people go astray. You know what I'm saying? In Luke 9, it says, and he said to all, notice all. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you're part of the all. Tell your neighbor, you're part of the all. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. When? Just on Sunday? No, daily, and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit? What does it profit if he gains a whole world or loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in my glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels? Think about it. Ashamed of me. I mean, we got to do nothing else but keep this word of God inside of us. Put it in our hearts, put it in our minds, and we go out of these walls and walk with it and live by it, because we won't be ashamed of his words. We don't want to be ashamed of his words, because one day he'll come with the glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Tony Evans said in our homework this week, I'm giving you some of your homework answers, guys. Praise God. Tony said this, we face challenges and problems that are too big for us on our own. Isn't that true? I imagine that whatever you might be facing, maybe someone here today, is real as well as it's also big. It could be a job situation, a financial situation, a moral situation. But when God gives you his perspective on what he wants you to do, I came here today to tell you, don't hold back. Don't hold back for living out his word. Tony Evans says, don't quit. Don't merge with what he says with what your friends say, high schoolers. What you hear or talk on the radio and podcasts, or even your own ideas. The answer is already in your hands, complete, total obedience to what he asked you to do. Too many men are making too many excuses why they can't lead well, why they can't love well, why they can't serve well. God wants you to walk in the power of the promises he has given you. Can I get any amen on that? Because that's power, man. It's power. Galatians 2:20, I thought to myself, we need to read this together. Let's read it together. I have been crucified. Wait, let's start again, because I don't think anybody's feeling this. Let's start it again. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Think about it. That's a powerful statement, because when we become Christians, the Bible, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and makes it known to us. He teaches us about life, and it's not about the stuff we acquire. It's about Him. It's not about us. It's about growing in the grace and knowledge of Him by serving and giving and sharing and loving and forgiving and caring. It's about dropping that E and adding the ING, if you know what I'm saying. Praise God. And that's why so many people drop out. That's why so many people are leaving this church in the generation, because I've got to find a church where it's all about me. I got to find a church where it's about all my needs, not about what He wants in me. Nobody wants to die to self. And if you want to live a Christian life, if you want to be close to God, you're going to have to figure out how you're going to have to die to your things and go to His things, because He has life and more abundantly waiting for you. He has a marriage. Where is my girl? He has a marriage as nothing else, but to give you glory and blessed, and oh, I can't wait. Praise God. We got that old Amy Grant CD out, Lead Me On, 1988, a couple weeks ago. And I got it out because the lady that works here at the school had an Amy Grant shirt on. I thought, Kathy, I'm going to get that Lead Me On CD out. We're going up to Winchester. Kathy's singing away. I'm crying. You know, Hallmark was coming on that night. I was getting ready. And then that song came on, If These Walls Could Speak. That was it. I said, Kathy, that's the 20-year reunion anniversary message, If These Walls Could Speak. Paul told his protege, 1 Timothy 6, 6-10, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing in the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. Every funeral I've done, if the casket's right, there's nothing in there but a body. You can't put anything in there. But if we have food and clothing, with these things we'll be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare. Anybody been in a snare? And many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not money that's evil. It's the love of money. When you make it more important than the things of God, it is through the craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. What in the world is the word pang? You know, it's a sudden feeling of mental or emotional or distress or longing. Because you'll get to that point where you're longing for something more. This stuff is not filling me up. It's not giving me hope. I don't have peace even though I have all this stuff. Next thing the walls will say, be ready to fight the good fight of faith. Pastor Dick, I look out here and see you, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you. I learned a lot of stuff from you, and Susan as well. Thank you. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, about which you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. There are many people sitting here today that made that profession or confession of faith right here at this altar. We open up this altar every week because we want to be a praying church. And then I thought about these 8 verses, and these are for all the preachers, all the teachers, all the elders. These verses are for us. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming, and I think it is here now, when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Think about it. And I could give you names of channels. I'm not going to do that. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And Paul writes, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. Think about your own funeral, because it's going to happen one day. I've been doing a lot of studying. It's 100%. Every one of us is going to die. Every one of us is unbelievable. Some people don't realize that. We're all going to die one day. And don't you want to say, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward me on that day. And not only to me, but also who have loved his appearing. And I hope there's everyone here that loves his appearing, that loves Christ, that has surrendered their life to Christ, asked him to forgive you of the sins you committed, and know that he died on the cross and he's not there anymore. He's not there. That he died and rose again and sits at the right hand throne of God. He's the author and finisher of our faith. The last thing I want to say the walls would say was, be willing to do it all for the gospel. Be willing to do it all for the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9, for some reason this verse has come up 3 times in the last 3 months. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in his blessing. Everything that's happened here today, everything that's been going on, is all for the gospel. All this great food out there, I can't wait to get into that fried chicken. But there is so much good food out there. It's all for the gospel. All people fellowship and giving each other a hug. And it's beautiful. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run in the way that you may obtain it. So cool. So here it is, our 20th anniversary. If these walls could speak, what would they say? Beware the battle. Be equipped with God's armor. Be prepared to die to self. That's the big one. That takes a lot. Be ready to fight the good fight of faith. Be willing to do all for the gospel. And then I thought to myself, well, Nick, can you give us just one verse? One verse that would climax everything for the rest of our lives that we could live by. I got it. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. Come on up, ushers. Praise God. Praise God. That sounded like the dinner bell just then. Praise God. Father, I just give you the glory, Lord. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful worship team we have up here. Thank you for music that does nothing else but proclaim the name of Christ. I ask you to bless our offering today, Father. Thank you for everyone that's here today, Father. We want nothing else but to be encouraging, Father, loving, caring, to be kind, Father. We open up this altar for anyone who might need prayer or wants to pray for somebody else, because that's where you start. You want to see a change in someone else's life? Pray for them. So, Father, I ask you to bless our offering, Father, and I give you the glory for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.